Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. Over there is Maria. And today is all about France. So if you guys are new to the channel, basically the way it goes is we pick a topic or we take a suggestion from you guys. And we scour the internet for all the fun stuff that we can find about said topic, today being France. And we put it on a Word doc, bring it on over here for you guys. So, Mar, would you like to get us going today?
Yes! Merci. Enchanté. That's all I know.
I can do croissant.
Okay, so it was very interesting because when you think of the flag, of French flag, they actually had a time in the 1800s where there was no color, it was just white.
Okay.
And that I found that just to be so perplexing that between 1814 and 1830s, it was just white.
Okay. Easy to produce, I guess. Hey.
I guess you're right.
So let's see. France came up with a lot of cool things. Every country's got their claim to fame for things that they've invented or came up with first. This one surprised me a little bit. They were the first country to introduce the license plate. And then I thought to myself, well, we've talked about in other videos, like the first cars being created, and most of that stuff is very America-based. But then I realized, a horse-drawn carriage could also have a license plate. It's more of a tracking system than it is necessarily attached to a car. So I'm thinking that's probably where that came from. Either horse-drawn carriage, or I think they created one of the first motorized carriages, which wasn't considered a car. So it could stem from either one of those.
So with regards to inventions, since we're kind of on that story, I was surprised to find out that they actually... Some of the famous, there are a lot of them, the parachute, the submarine, as well as the hot air balloon were also okay. French inventions.
Very cool. All right. Let's see. so French. Let's see. At the Petit Sirah coffee shop in Paris, not saying hello or saying please makes your coffee more expensive.
Love it.
You have two price lists. One if you're polite, one if you're rude or not polite.
I love it because whatever.
They deserve it. It's very Colombian too. It's like in Colombia, if you don't start off with a hi, how you doing? What's going on? It's like they don't want to even start the conversation. There's like precursor. So I get it.
It's interesting also because when you think of France, when you think of Paris, you think of it as the city of lights. But it's not because they have a lot of lights and because of the beautiful Eiffel Tower. It actually comes from the number of intellectuals who live there.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
Neither did I.
Okay.
Now we do.
Let's see. Well, if I'm going to give the French... a reputation for being a little, well, you're going to pay more if you're not nice for your coffee. I have to go the other side of the spectrum because I thought this was really cool. The French government actually gives out medals, and I won't pronounce it, but in English it translates to the Medals of French Family to citizens who have successfully raised several children with dignity. So I thought that was pretty cool, that family aspect of the French culture.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, French... also have French fries and French toast. But guess what? They're not French.
I was going to say that. I had a feeling.
French toast isn't actually French. It was created from a guy named Joseph French. And he was an innkeeper in New York.
Okay.
And this is one of the stories. I mean, there are many legends or many theories of where, but this is one of them. And... he was not very good with grammar, so he didn't add the French's toast. He just added French toast.
Yes.
Okay. For possession, I assume. Yep. But it was to be called, but there was a French version that used to be called Lost Bread, which was pain perdu. I may be mispronouncing it, and I apologize. But pain perdu was basically just the bread that was going to get lost. And yeah. It comes from the court of Henry V of England. And they, going a little further, because this is just so interesting about the origins of things, The Oxford English Dictionary actually calls French toast in 1660s as a very accomplished name of French toast and from a very accomplished book, but it's not the same French toast that we see today. So there's a lot of version of what French toast is, gotcha. But the one that came from England, the one that came from France, and the one that came from New York are different versions.
So the good stuff came from America, what we think of as French toast. And I only say the good stuff because leftover bread does not sound that appealing. None of the other examples Maria gave was like, ooh, I got to have some of that. Like, I'll take croissant over those other French bread versions we heard, unless we're talking about the American version. So, but superstitious crowd, because apparently if you wear a polka dotted dress on January 1st, you will be prosperous for the whole year. But if you're moving a table, you will have excellent health as long as 13 people don't sit around that table. Because that's considered bad luck. And they think that that tradition actually spins back to the Last Supper. Because there was 13 people at the table. And Judas Iscariot was seen as the traitor. So you should never have 13 people sit around a table in France. It's considered bad luck. Especially a moved table.
Adding to that, the moving the table, what I read was, if you're moving to a new location, like a new house, in order to bring prosperity and abundance, the dining table should be brought as the first item into the new house.
Yes.
Which I was very, very surprised that will be like, okay, you got to bring that. And of course, again, don't sit 13 people. It's also gotcha. A very odd number. So, you know.
I missed that little section. So thank you for cleaning that up. I appreciate it.
You know that the potatoes were actually illegal in France at some point.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me. Especially with my next fact I've got coming. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's all I have. Potatoes were illegal in the 1740s.
Okay.
To the 1770s. I mean, there were like almost 40 years worth of illegalities of potatoes.
It could have been a health harvest thing too. There, a lot of times when things like that happen, there's something else going on. Let me see real quick. Because I had a potato. Okay, I do have it actually. Potatoes were illegal in France, 1748, 1772. The French Parliament reportedly forbade potato cultivation as it was considered to be poisonous. And it was also claimed that potatoes caused leprosy. So I wouldn't want that in my country either if I believed that they were poisonous, much less if I believed that they caused leprosy. So there you are. That is why.
And for the longest time, people used to think that green potatoes were poisonous as well. But actually, yeah. What the green potato is just a potato that was exposed to oxygen as it was growing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just so you guys know, if you find them in your chip bags, not bad, not bad.
No, but that's what I was taught.
But the reason that didn't surprise me was because of my next fact that wearing pants for women in Paris was illegal for 200 years, which was surprising. But the more surprising part was 200 years all the way up until 2012. And again, we joke about some of these, you can't tie your elephant to a parking meter in Florida stuff that we've covered in previous videos. But a lot of times they're just old laws on the books that just never got taken off. But basically they decreed it illegal within the city limits. And the law passed in 1799 and it remained on the books for 214 years. And until it was finally taken away. And unfortunately, guys, I can't tell you the last time someone was actually written a ticket for it. I thought that would have been interesting because things stay on the books, but clearly they were enforced at one point in time.
Love it.
Could not find that piece of information.
I actually found very interesting how part of the superstitions also said that if you count the stars, you're actually going to get warts.
Okay.
To me, like, where do you get counting stars will give you warts, eating potatoes give you leprosy? That one is interesting, but hey, you never know. Maybe they fermented it and got a poison in it. Who knows? But counting the stars and warts.
I've heard some crazy, and if you guys have been watching the show for a little while, you've probably heard some crazy, like, superstition stuff, too. When it comes to superstition stuff, it's usually pretty wonky. So As weird as it sounds to me, it sounds like a perfect superstition for just about anywhere, because usually that's what the superstitions. Plus, those are the ones that we like to bring you guys, are the really funky ones. Like, if it's like, oh, if you wear a red dress, okay, cool. No, I want the one, like, if there's a left-footed sheep that bumps into a cow on February 27th at noon, you will be rich within the year. Those are the best ones. Come on.
Yes, I agree.
Thing, guys. Don't try to ever set that scene up. That's not a thing. All right, you can't talk about France without talking about Paris, and you can't talk about Paris without talking about the Eiffel Tower. So, most people, I don't know, maybe 50-50. I'd be curious how many people out there already knew it, but the Eiffel Tower is actually meant to be temporary. It was created for a World's Fair exposition, and it was inevitably meant to be taken down. And it almost did get taken down and scrapped for the metal, but one thing saved it. You want to take a guess, Maria, what it was that saved the Eiffel Tower from being scrapped for metal?
I actually have that fact, but go ahead and tell it.
Okay. All right. We all can thank radio, because basically, if you guys know anything about radio, you need the antennas high. And since the Eiffel Tower was created in 1889, they almost took it down in 1909. There wasn't a lot of tall structures in 1909. So they found that it was absolutely perfect to put an antenna on the top of it to relay radio signals or get the coverage for around Paris. So it was more just seen as a tall thing. They could put something functional on before it really, really became the icon that it is today. It was meant to just be an exhibition.
Became a radio tower.
Uh-huh. Then it became a radio tower, and now it is what it is. And it's still there thanks to radio.
I actually found this interesting. So I'm going to mix two things about France, but we cannot speak of France and not mention Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
It's also part of history. And what was interesting is they always say that Napoleon was a very short person, but he actually wasn't. He wasn't that short. He was, can you take a gander how tall he was?
I kind of know. I have a pretty good ballpark. So I'll let everybody else out there take a second to take any guess how tall Napoleon was. He was the actually considered like average height for his era. And that won't give it away because you don't know how tall average height was then, or ever so slightly above average height. But I think he was 5'5 or 5'7, one of the two, if I recall.
Which in between 5'6.
Okay.
I got which at that time he was tall. I mean, that's the part people don't get. That was normal. That was tall back then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how that myth got started. I wanted to kind of look it up, and then it just turned into a deeper dive. And I was like, okay, it's not as important to me.
No, but it has to do also with the metric system, because the French and the English measuring system was a little bit different. Yeah. So when you translate it, when you say 5'6", it would have been less in the English.
Yeah, and then we talked about it on the New Year's episode also, or we're going to talk about it in the New Year's episode. I guess I should go that way because I found some interesting facts. But I'm going to leave those for then because that's still a long ways off. But the unfortunate part, as famous as Napoleon is, he came from a little tiny town in a French territory in Corsica called A-J-A-C-C-I-O. Ajaccio? I don't know. Something like that. But he's actually not even the most famous Corsican, as famous as Napoleon is. There's one person more famous than Napoleon that came from Corsica. Any guesses, Mar?
No.
All right. I'll give everybody another second out there to take their guesses, but the first and considered more famous than Napoleon, if you want to go worldwide, person from Corsica, Christopher Columbus.
Oh, wow.
I think you can debate which one's more famous, but I did think from a little tiny island of Corsica, two of the more famous people in our recent history are from that same little tiny island. France bought the island in 1768 outright from the Genovese at the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was going to say something more about Napoleon and then I'll drop it. But Napoleon, you are not. It's actually illegal in France. There's a law that prohibits people from calling their pigs Napoleon. And I feel so bad because pigs are awesome. Why would that be an offense? But that's because of people's stereotype of pigs.
Okay. And, so, guys, Maria and I have discussed this before, and we really don't like to kind of, like, call each other out. This is actually going to be the first time I do it on the channel. But I'd read that fact also, and it made me very, very curious, so I started digging. And as I dug, I discovered something, that actually is not true.
Really?
That it's an assumption, because nobody would do that, personally, because he's so famous, but the possible origin of the myth came when a French editor, if you've, George Orwell's book, The Animal Farm.
Okay.
It's all about the labor practices and stuff in the United States. That's a different book. But there's a book called Animal Farm by George Orwell. Basically, a French editor edited the book, and the pig's name was Napoleon in the book. And when it got brought to France, the French editor changed the name of the pig in the story. But he did it voluntarily. He didn't do it because it was illegal. So people believe that the reason that he did it was because there was a law that was just kind of an assumption thrown on top of a fact.
Love that.
The French editor did it by choice when he changed the pig character in that book. And then it turned into an internet fact.
Legend.
So funky, and then it became internet legend. So, yeah.
It's so interesting how that goes, because then people start assuming, well, it must be a law, or maybe it's one of those unspoken rules that people kind of have out of respect.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it could have been.
And I think that's what it was. The editor's like, we're not going to leave the pig's name Napoleon. That's just not going to happen. That's just rude. But rude and illegal are two different things.
Completely. So. Completely. Yeah.
All right, guys. So when you go to France, well, at least if it's World Cup time and it's 1998 and you're a Mexican football fan, you do something that's only ever happened once. The eternal flame of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris has only been extinguished one time, and it was by inebriated Mexican football fans who peed on it after the final of the 1998 World Cup when France defeated Brazil.
No, that is so wrong.
That's hilarious.
That is so wrong. So when you travel to France, when you travel to Paris, you actually will travel and see all the castles and the vineyards and the history that carries of the Renaissance and all that beautiful art that came with it. But the Palace of Versailles actually has an interesting origin, because it was a hunting lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Hunting lodge.
Yes.
Like this amazing place was a private retreat for Louis the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 13th. And he reigned in 1610 to 1643. Mm-hmm. And it was for him and his family. In 1600s, in 1624, the king entrusted Jacques Le Mercier with the construction of a chateau on the site. And those are the walls that are preserved today as a facade overlooking the marble court. So, hunting lodge.
Quite the hunting lodge it became. And if you guys watched our, let's see. Did we do? All right, I'm going to leave that for another time. I forgot what video we were talking about castles and why people move castles so frequently.
Yes. I forgot the video, but yes. We didn't do medieval times.
Nope. Oh, it was food. It was our very first. It was our very first video on this channel. It was food. It was. So if you guys haven't watched the first video when we switched over to this podcast format, we were talking about food.
Yeah.
And I came up with one of the facts that people, you know, all the royalty have all these courts all over wherever their country is. In England, there's multiple castles. In France, there's multiple castles. And they would move castles all the time. And you would think, oh, how luxurious, how fantastic, how what a lifestyle that must be. Well, there was a very practical reason why they kept doing it. It's because the castles got absolutely disgusting. Because the royalty would throw parties and people would just be there in that environment. And literally, the castles began to smell so badly that they had to up and leave and go to a different castle so then the people could come in and clean the previous castle. And they kind of had a rotation, a lot of countries did. That way it would be aired out by the time they came back to it. Not as glamorous as I once thought it was when I hear about
it. No, not very. Not very.
That was my callback fact, but I'm going to do another one. Let's see. Oh, we've got traditions. We've got Valentine's Day. Let's see. Ooh, let's do more. Let's see. So you said parachute for inventions, hot air balloon. I got first digital calculator.
Ooh. Brand,
which that's useful. I mean, seriously, that I think is probably one of the more impressive inventions mm-hmm. of the world. To come up with that concept and then to be able to do, anytime you create an entire language, like even people on Star Trek, I give them credit when they create like the Klingon language. You know how many words is in a language?
Yeah, no, to come up with a whole new thing, that's incredible. A
lot of work, a lot of work. And to top it off, because, well, it's France, Grand Prix racing. That's French.
Grand Prix, yes, that's always a lot of fun mm-hmm. to go there and visit. So France is really interesting because the food, you were talking about food. Food is very well known for its elegance, its flavor, also its size, sometimes a little small. But the best restaurants in London, like London what? Has some of the best restaurants in the world. So if you ever go to London, they're known for their food, their restaurants and stuff like that. But the interesting thing is that many of their top restaurants are actually French cuisine.
That doesn't surprise me. That does. I mean, when you're thinking of like international food or like high end food, it's French. Like that yes. is definitely. So if you're going to be in a high end food area, yes, I would expect like really.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always one of the fun things when you travel. Is it's interesting. You can almost tell the tourist evolution of a given city that you travel to based on what foreign foods they have.
Uh-huh.
It's like if tourists just started coming, they usually have Italian food because it's just like pasta, pizza, that kind of stuff's popular. Once they kind of start, they go from there and then they branch into like Asian. And then you'll start to see like once Mexican food is there, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this is really becoming a tourist spot. So like if you're somewhere in like Korea and you're like, okay, if I'm in Seoul, they'll have Mexican food. But if I go to a random town, so it is interesting. But French food is that always considered that very high end.
Elegant. Michelin. Well, fine dining, class, and distinction.
Yeah, very well put. Very well mm-hmm. put. I thought this was interesting and a cool sign of respect. When George Washington passed away, Napoleon ordered it 10 days of mourning in France.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty neat how they did that out of respect.
Mm-hmm.
I also read that I thought it was really funny how, well, not funny. But in several decades, the language that was spoken amongst ambassadors and the language that will unite countries nowadays is English, like the one that you mm-hmm. hear the most when you're talking about international relations. But it used to be French. So every ambassador and everybody need to learn French because that was the language mm-hmm. for our communication within countries.
And it's interesting, if you go to Vietnam too, the elderly population still speak French because they were occupied by France for a while. You do find French in some very interesting places or very interesting people speaking it that you wouldn't expect. And again, it is usually the older because of that, like you were saying, it was a predominant language for a long time. So the grandmothers of these ladies taught them French because that was the international language. And now these ladies are 80, 90 years old. So their grandmothers, you'd be talking, tracing back 130 years to where French really was the dominant language at that point in time.
I love that.
Let's see. In France, by law, a bakery has to make all of its bread it sells from scratch in order to be called a bakery. But it's illegal also to publish a photograph of a person in handcuffs who has not yet been convicted of a crime. So you can show them, but you can't show a picture of them in handcuffs. Probably because that connotates they're a criminal and you haven't given them a trial yet. I thought that was interesting, but also very, like, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, that thing is a sign of respect, in my opinion.
Yeah, reputation and such.
I actually read also something really fascinating about what's illegal and not illegal photography-wise. And I was reading somewhere that in France, and I don't know if this is still true or not, but it used to be illegal to take photos of police officers or their vehicles, even in the background.
Okay. And I have one last one because we all know on this show how much Maria loves marketing. That's become her thing for some reason on this show. On the other channel, it is all about video forensics. On this channel, she just somehow jumped into the marketing pool. In France, a gentleman named Victor Lustig impersonated a government official and managed to sell the Eiffel Tower not once, but twice.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. That's some serious marketing. You could convince somebody you own the Eiffel Tower. That's pretty good marketing.
That is very good marketing. And speaking of marketing, it's cheaper to drink wine because it's like intellectual part of every meal to have wine. And I've seen it with my friends who are from France, and they will drink wine all the time. And it's actually more affordable than beer or even sometimes water.
Bottle water especially, yeah, it can be expensive. I have a French friend that had told me that. Mar, I don't have any fun trivia for this episode. Do you have any trivia we did not use in the facts section?
I have one.
Okay.
Which I was very surprised about.
Everybody listen in. This is your chance to answer it also. She'll ask me, but she's asking all of us. She'll give us some hints if we can't figure it out, and let's see if we can get there.
So which country or which city actually is more visited than Paris? Ooh. You'll be surprised.
Ooh. All right, let's see.
You've been there, so that's going to be your clue.
Number one for the United States. I've been there.
Which one do you say?
New York would be number one for the United States.
Okay.
I've been there. I mean, that narrows it down to a certain extent, but Miami's number two in the States. Oh, man. Hang on. London.
You'll be surprised. Like, you're not going to guess.
I'm not right. I'm going to say New York, even though I know that's probably not right.
Actually, Bangkok, apparently.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Then Paris.
I can tell you why that is, though.
Why?
Bangkok is kind of the hub for Southeast Asia, just like China, like Guangzhou. There's certain airport hubs that everything flies into, and then it connects on to somewhere else. So that makes sense. Bangkok is one of those hubs for all of Southeast Asia. Almost everything flies through Bangkok. So it also would be interesting how they define visited. Because if it's got off the plane and hopped on another plane, I totally buy that one. But even still, it's also cheap. Anytime it's a hub, it's a cheap location to go to. So if you want to go to Southeast Asia, Bangkok's one of the cheapest places because it is more airlines fly in and then connect. So everything ends up more inexpensive.
And there's some beautiful parts of Thailand also. Oh,
don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it should only be a stopover town or something. It's a gorgeous place. But that, I think, is also the interesting. When we read these questions, we're having fun with them, guys. They're trivia. But we're not like, okay, give me the details. Did they get off a plane? Did they have to stay more than 24 hours? Did they? You know, it's just for fun.
And also, Singapore was on the top of the list, which I can definitely see that.
Pass through, yeah.
Berlin, Barcelona, Madrid, and Budapest is now climbing the ladder.
Okay. All right. New York wasn't even on there. Interesting. Okay.
No, New York was there, but these were the other ones.
All right. All right, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of France. And, well, Mar, thanks for joining. Thanks for me joining you. Thanks for bringing more fun facts about France, because I think mine were a little dry. I'm going to give it to you on this one. I think you probably had the more interesting facts of the two of us. Guys, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.